This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, Episode 626, Tides Part 2, Still No Culturan Edition. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops Adorbs, Rides to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, you're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, the commander of the Fel and master of demons, Thandeth, the still not a meat shield, Toasty, and the high priestess of the Everlight, Allie.
But I'm not from Canada.
It's okay, we'll make it work. You're an honorary Canadian. Ahem. Bringing you your news from the world of Warcraft, this is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. How are you, Toasty?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying being here for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Jerk.
Yes, I make mistakes, okay? I'm not perfect. I never said I was.
And What would a show of ATA be without me pointing out a mistake that happened that's going to be edited out? I'm not going to deprive the people who listen to the recording.
You should. They weren't here for the live show. They don't deserve to hear that.
Man. I was over here like, I'm going to be nice about this, but no, Toasty just dives right in.
I mean,
so much for me. Hey, I'm editing the show this week. Be nice.
I am being nice. I'm not making, you know, unnecessary noises. I'm minding the background noises going on in my house.
Uh-huh. And telling everybody the mistakes I made, yeah. Appreciate that.
Mistake. There was one.
Okay, there was actually two, but all right, whatever.
I was trying to be nice.
Hey, if you're going to point it out, I may as well ensure accuracy.
Sometimes. It's like you don't know me.
I was trying to be nice. Man, I did not realize I had so many trolls in my life these days.
I know. We do what we can.
Do your best. You be you. All that good stuff.
Yeah, man. I gotta be true to me.
Or, you know, as an idea, you could just be nice for once.
Well, like, if I did that, then people would be like, what's wrong with Toasty?
True. Can't argue there.
There would be serious concerns for my mental health. Like, more so than there are already. But, yeah. You know what I mean.
Alright, well, we also have, as you heard giggling in the background, Allie. Hey, Allie.
Hello. I'm so happy I'm here.
aren't you glad you're now permanently part of this joke?
Oh wait, but I am.
Yeah, I figured.
I'm not even drinking, so it's probably a good thing considering how much you guys have already made me laugh tonight between our host chat and now this. So yeah, probably good thing there's no rum tonight.
Oh man, host chat is a whole other beast.
That just would be one screwed.
Episode, we're just gonna do an episode where all we do is talk about what Toasty has done at BlizzCon.
No, that's a terrible idea.
I don't think it would turn out to be a very appropriate episode.
Yeah, we're supposed to be a PG show, Medro.
That would not be PG.
Who needs PG anyway?
I'd have a great time with it, though. I feel like I need to hear more of these stories.
Aren't we like stuck with PG because of sponsor stuff? Our sponsors would not be happy with that.
True. I know. We'll do that as one of our Patreon-only things, our Q&A things. We'll do Ask Toasty Questions about BlizzCon.
Oh no.
Oh, I like this. I like that this a lot. I fully support
it. That's essentially post-show.
No. Oh. There are... like, in the past 2 years, I've been pretty good. But the first couple were bad. They were really bad. Especially when I started, like, not sharing a room with you guys.
Yeah, I feel like when the year you got your own room, where you were alone, is yeah, where it really it just went down.
It went downhill rapidly.
The first year was you and
Fan. Is that the year we talked about earlier?
Yep.
Okay, see, the pieces are coming together now in my head.
It was him and Fan rooming. Me and the wife stayed at a different hotel. Then second year was, there was a bunch of us. There was me, Toasty, Fan, Fan's friend DVD, and Robert. They were all in on the one room.
Yeah, I slept under a table.
At his own choice. He chose that. That was not required of him.
Yeah, I chose to be gracious and allow everybody else a bed. Because I'm used to sleeping on the floor. And then I woke up suddenly and forgot there was a table above me, hit my head. That hurt. It also woke some people up.
Yes.
The initial contact, I don't think, woke everybody up. It was the immediate cry of pain and large amount of cursing.
That was also the I can't even words right now year.
Oh, that was for Loco year.
That was for Loco year, yes. I still remember the point where you were, I believe, drunk. And you decided you were going to go back to your hotel room to sleep for a bit. You slept for like an hour and then downed a Four Loko or two. And then you were like ready to go again. I'm like, all right, I got nothing.
That was a good night. That was a real good night.
I believe Robert still has a picture of you. You're meeting Mr. Morheim.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of that night. I remember meeting Mike.
That would be a very, very memorable moment, no matter what. I remember meeting Mike myself. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I remember. That's gonna be a common theme if we ever do this Patreon only show. So this is what happened, and the rest of the night is blank.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. No, will not. Might be interesting.
I fully support this show.
Oh, don't worry. There will be a Ask Allie questions episode too.
Allie is far less boring. Far more boring. I meant to say more.
No, I think you got it right, actually.
I mean, I do constantly remind people that it's the quiet ones. Tough. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to shut up now. Hey, well, Mentos, hey. How's your week, buddy?
All right, not used to me starting this. My week was good. Only got like 2 item upgrades all week, which was really disappointing. But I did finally complete the Islet Exhibition quest, weekly quest that they have every week. Thanks to somebody taking me on some Islet Expeditions one day.
Finally. Made you do heroic, too.
Whatever. And I actually got a pet, I think, too, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I mean, what? I know nothing about this.
Right. We'll go with that one. So, yeah, it was interesting. Got the mysterious treasure map one that gives you the mission to go get something, and you get titanium residuum from that. That was good. But, yeah, my hunter or my demon hunter, one of the two, got an upgrade piece that took them from 670 to 675. So that was my only upgrade this week, which was thoroughly disappointing. I'm not counting my druid, because my druid, like, almost everything is an upgrade for my druid at this point, because they're only at like 3 something. Let me see here. I should have that pull up here somewhere. Yeah, they're like 338. Most of their stuff's still 345, 355 stuff, so there's a long way to go for them to be anywhere near the rest of my tunes. But I will sadly say that I think Madros is now at 373. My Demon Hunter is, I think, still where they were last week at 374, yeah. And my Hunter is like 369, I think. So, still way too nice. Low. Clearly at that point of most of the stuff from World Quests and Emissaries and all that other stuff is not going to be an upgrade. I am looking forward to tomorrow, though, and we'll talk more about that later. But the stuff coming out tomorrow should help with my gearing up a bit, so... But that was about it. Mostly just profession, you know, doing professions here and there, doing a little bit of gearing up, and some island expeditions. Oh, and I did a dungeon, but that's not a big deal.
Yeah, he did. That was also heroic.
So it wasn't Siege of Borealis?
No, it was Tol'Dor.
No, it was Tol'Dor for the Jaina questline.
Now I'm ready for another one in that questline, apparently, so...
Tol'Dor, that was the one where you start out in the sewer, right?
The person I already escaped, I have to go back into, apparently, for some stupid reason.
Yep. So you crawled out through the muck, and you have to crawl back in through the muck.
Yes.
Muck. That's what we're going to call it right now.
Yes. I do not want to know what it would be other than muck. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, it was not a really adventurous week for me other than doing some island expeditions and a single dungeon. But yeah, I have more to do. I think I've the dungeon up in Storm Song Valley. I can't remember what the name of it is again. But that's the one I have to do next because I have to go after the...
Oh, you have to go to Shrine of Storms.
Yeah, that's one.
Okay. So yeah, the main quest one.
Shrine of Storms at the beginning of the expansion was such a gigantic pain in the ass because people hadn't figured out all the pulls yet or where all they were. So I know the first boss, like one of the first pulls, like is near a staircase. So they would pull them. Some of the techs I had would pull them and I go down the staircase, but go too far down the staircase because it's a steep staircase. You can't, if you're not angled right, you can't see all the way down. And next thing you know, you got all the mobs at the bottom of that staircase too, and they heal themselves. That was not ideal.
Yep.
Especially because, like, it was at the beginning of the expansion, so people were still gearing up, still learning the encounters and all that other stuff. That was 5 minutes of hell that I'll never get back. And, like, people were stubborn. They would not just, like, okay, we have one person, we have two people dead, so we got a healer taking DPS up. We are not going to win this. Please wipe so we can start over again and pull the trash properly. That didn't happen at all. And now I hate that dungeon so much as a result. Like, every time I'm queuing up and like, oh, look, it's that dungeon. Like, do I just leave? I feel like maybe that's the right thing to do right now. And then I put up with it.
Well, how was your week while there, Toasty?
Oh, my week was pretty quiet. I didn't... Like, I don't know what it is lately. I just haven't been feeling playing WoW this past week. Like, I logged on a couple times to do world quests and all that other stuff. I attempted to do more leveling my paladin, and it turned into me, like, logging in and picking up a bunch of quests and then never not actually doing them. I did some of them, and I think I got one more level on my paladin, but I didn't really make a lot of progress. And then I think I played a lot during the holidays, which was probably contributing to it. I'll sit down and play WoW a couple nights a week. You know, I don't have any issue with that, but for the holidays, because I was sick for a good chunk of it, I was just always playing WoW. And now it's just like, But I'm hoping that with some of the new stuff that's coming out soonish, that it'll like, kind of just reignite that desire to log in and play for more than just like half an hour to an hour a night whenever I do log in. Yeah, some of the 815 stuff I'm really looking forward to, especially Brawler's Guild. I've never successfully finished Brawler's Guild.
What? Love Brawler's Guild.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I love it, but I just never finish it. So I'm looking forward to doing that again. I'm probably going to level up a Kul'Tiran when it's available. But, you know, we're seeing how long it's taking me to level a Paladin. I wouldn't hold my breath on the Kul'Tiran. But yeah, I'm kind of going through the motions when it comes to WoW right now. I think I'm itching for new stuff to do. Haven't figured out what that's going to be yet. I know some people who listen to the show, Rosenstern, he's been bugging me to try out tanking again. Because we all know my position on tanking.
That's your automatic? Yeah, I agree.
But that I'm terrible
at it. You're going to be a meat shield? What?
Not on my warrior. I might try it on something else. I haven't actually decided what I want to finish leveling my paladin as. I've been leveling as red for a long time, but I feel like I'm at a low enough level where if I were to switch to tanking, it wouldn't be too much of an adjustment. Because I still have, a little less than half of the leveling experience to learn how to tank properly on the paladin. So, I don't know, it's something that I've been kicking around for a little bit. Whether or not I actually pull the trigger on that is a whole other question. It will certainly make leveling up a lot faster, because the DPS queues have not been kind lately. I think I got spoiled by all the DPS queues I got during the holidays.
Probably.
5 minutes? Yes. Yes, please. And I was like, 40 minutes. That's not great. I logged on planning to play for an hour, so I was gonna level up for do some questing while I'm waiting for the queue to pop, and then play the dungeon, and then log out, and then quickly turn into wait for half of the queue, and quest, get bored, and try something else for a little bit. So yeah.
So the real news here is you're gonna be tanking again. Gotcha.
Yep. Pretty much.
Maybe.
Yep. No,
I don't
you
hear
said
maybe.
It.
I hear a yes. Maybe.
Everyone heard it. Everyone heard it.
Toasty the tank. Allie currently has more votes on the who should be our first AMA than Toasty. Interesting.
No.
Oh, you have IP duplication? Yep. Lame.
Just to clarify, not Medros means one of the other two. So they get split on that vote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. You can't find, at least a half dozen ways to vote. Even with IP duplication on.
Oh, yeah, no, I already have figured out.
I think I just saw that, actually. Anyways.
I haven't done it yet. Allie, how about you?
I've actually finally had a good chance to play a lot this past week, which makes me really happy. I got my little Dark Iron Pally 273, which I'm really happy with, and enjoying Northrend as always. We did those island expeditions, and I've been doing as many incursions as I can, not getting a single up, but that's okay. And I finally got my act together and finished the current war campaign story that got put out with 8-1, which was good timing because a lot of it introduced some of the bosses in the new raid coming out on Tuesday. So it was a lot of fun. I had a good time. There was explosions
and
my boyfriend Flint Fairwind and the epic monkey and got to see opulence. It was a really just a fun, lighthearted. Well, I don't know if lighthearted is a word. Just
some of that stuff was not lighthearted.
It was just some nice fun, I didn't have to worry about, healing and raiding, and I didn't have to worry about, leveling, and I wasn't doing some work for the show. It was just sit down and just dive myself into the story and the war campaign, and I just had a really good time. So that was pretty awesome. And tomorrow is the new raid, so I'm really excited.
What doesn't have me excited about the Battle for Zarlor is the fact that we have to fight Grong. I am not happy with that.
I know, I'm not either.
I don't want to hurt And I want to hurt my monkey bud.
He's the monkey. Are you not caught up with the war campaign? What? Have you done? Where are you at with the war campaign?
I believe I completed it.
Grong is the monkey. It's a giant gorilla.
I don't remember a giant gorilla.
He's intelligent, and then he tests out this machine, and he gets more powerful, but then he loses. It's so sad.
Oh, poor Grong.
I don't want to kill him. Make it better, Toasty.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. When I get to that fight in LFR, I'm just going to drop group. So I never have to do that.
Sadly, I'm going to have to kill him multiple times because raiding. And
just AFK. Oh. It's fine. They won't notice. You're just a healer, right?
If I AFK, they all die.
Then they can't kill him.
What kind of priest are you? Holy?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't even shield yourself. I got nothing. I got no good answer for you.
It's okay. I'm just going to have to suck it up and deal with it. It's sad. But no, I'm really excited about the raid coming out, and it was nice to just really get some good game time in this past week. I think I played more this past week since the holidays, so that was awesome. And I did the world quest weekly, so I'm nice and stocked with war resources now. And yeah, I'm ready. My body's ready, my tune is ready for Tides of Vengeance Part 2.
No.
Yeah, I did that
on Fortune's too, by the
way. I have a rant about that.
Oh.
I am upset and frustrated that the incursions don't count towards that. And I'm hoping it is just oversight, because they absolutely should count towards that world quest weekly. They are world quests. They are on.
They count towards the emissaries, don't they?
They do. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, I want to say it's an oversight, because it really, especially if it's going to count for emissaries, there's absolutely no reason to have it not count for the weekly.
Yeah. If it didn't count for emissaries, then an argument could be made that no, that's intentional. But the fact that they count for the emissaries.
Yeah.
Like, did you report a bug? Did you use the good old report a bug feature? Well,
fine, I'll go do it then.
That might be something you want to consider.
Twisting your arm there.
Because as a QA, the only way to get a bug fixed.
Well, enough of them play this, they should be able to report this themselves.
Can't depend on everybody. You can't depend on that. I've learned that the hard way.
Blizzard needs your help, Medros. Come on, man.
Blizzard needs you. To report bugs.
Fine. Jerks.
Yeah, because if everyone has the idea that, someone else has probably reported this already, then it doesn't get reported.
Fine, I'll report it right now.
I didn't mean now.
I'll do it right now.
Doing it live. Oh, right. Yeah.
Reporting a bug. All right. I'm doing this live, man. Do this live.
Okay, well, while you're reporting a bug, why don't you tell us about our first fantastic sponsor.
Well, fine then. Our new sponsor is the great folks at Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures for a bunch of Blizzard universes. Warcraft, Overwatch, Heroes of Diablo, and even more from outside of the Blizzard verses, like Firefly, Sherlock, Doctor Who, and more. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, but this week I'm going to highlight a new series. Now, these are ones that I did not know what they were called. I've seen them in the stores a few times. But they're basically the Funko 5 Stars series. And what they are is they are a smaller type of Funko. I would probably, from the sizes and the people, I've seen pictures of people holding their hands. I would say they're about Cupid Deadly sized, but not Cupid Deadly. Not branding wise, anyway. And they're really neat. They have some really cool ones. What I'm seeing here, when you look at the Funko website, the DC 5 Stars here, which is five characters from DC universes. There's Poison Ivy, Joker, Harley Quinn, Batgirl, and Batman. I'm not sure why they're all in the Batman universe there, but The ones I noticed first, though, was that... So, there are a lot of toy fairs that are coming up in the next little while. And what Funko likes to do is like to tease out what's coming out for those toy fairs. And they did London and Tokyo toy fairs today. I think New York was back late last year, I think, but I'm not sure. Maybe someone in our chat room can check that out for sure. But one of the sets that they revealed today was a series of Harry Potter five-star ones. There's also some Game of Thrones ones. Toshi, I showed you this earlier. This is the five stars for Harry Potter are basically Herbology class, where there's Ron, yes, Hermione, and Harry with various... What's the name of those creatures?
Hold on, yeah, I have to look back at it.
Okay.
No, I have to look back at the picture. Okay. I don't remember the exact picture.
The ones that they used to cure the... from the stare of the snake guy.
Oh my god! I can't remember the name! Why can't I remember the name? Mandrake!
Yes, Mandrakes. Yes. Of course, no surprise that Hermione isn't a fully unpotted Mandrake, while the other two do not have one. There's also Dobby, which has a sock.
He looks really cute.
He does. For the image for those who are looking for it. There's the Harry Potter ones. There's also Game of Thrones ones that caught my eye, which are here. This is Jon Snow with his sword and his dog. Daenerys with her dragon. The Night King with his dragon and his ice staff. And, of course, Tyrion with a goblet of booze. Which is...
I want them all.
There's a fox plush?
Yes. You didn't know that?
No. I didn't scroll all the way down because I'm like, I don't have room for anything.
To clarify that, they don't have the concept for that yet. That is at some point going to be coming out, but there will be a fox plush at one point, yes.
Oh.
But that's probably not for a while. No. So.
Toasty, you must resist. You have nowhere to put these things.
You don't know how big it's going to be. It might be like hand size. And I'm sure you have somewhere you could put a hand size, like a one that fits in the palm of your hands.
On the brim of my sorting hat.
Perfect. Done.
Because I also have a sorting hat.
Of course you do. But yes, I want to point these out because, I mean, they're basically the Cupid Deadly sized vinyl figures. And I love that some of the Cupid Deadlies do have attachments, like... I remember the first one they gave out, which was part of your goodie bag. Sylvanas had a bow, and I really liked that, but it got lost pretty quickly. And a lot of the Cupid Deadlies since then don't really have anything, and if they do have anything, it's attached. So like Hanzo has a bow for his Cupid Deadly, but it's attached to him. There's no way it's going to fall off, kind of thing. These ones, I guess Funko decided to go a different way on that. They actually have attachments and things that come along with them. But these aren't blind boxes, which is the really potentially frustrating thing about a Cupid Deadly set, is you could get 10 of them and they all be the same thing. Such as my first time buying Cupid Deadlies in the store at BlizzCon, I got 5 Arthases. And none of them were even the rare one there. So these are, you buy the box, you can see what you're buying. They look really cool. And if you look at the picture on the website for the Funko blog, they actually show what the boxes look like, too. So you can actually see what's... Like, this is the Harry Potter one that I'm looking in our chat room now. Oh, and it looks like W also has the book as well. And all the little... the Ron, Hermione, and Harry ones also have earmuffs. Because, of course, need to wear those. But yeah, they're really, really neat. They're a new series that they've fairly recently released. I'm sure they'll come up with more... But I wanted to highlight those. So they're not like a specific Funko Pop, but they are a set of collections, just a few individual ones for specific franchises. So if you want to check that out, funko.com/5star has some of the current ones, and I'm sure that they will have more coming out. Like I think they already actually have some. They have a 5-star for Albus Dumbledore, which has a fox on a stand. They have a Rubius Hagrid, who has his umbrella and a Happy Birthday Harry cake. And some other ones, so definitely check those out. But for stuff that you want to buy through what we offer, I want you to check out their store. Go to bit.ly/FunkoATA. Check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA and use Shop10 to save 10%. And thanks to Funko for their support of the show. All right, so what's coming up this week there, Allie?
Well, the 21st through the 23rd, we have the yearly Call of the Scarab over in Silithus. Last year, the Alliance won, so we will see who wins this year. Launching tomorrow, the 22nd, we have the Battle of Dazar Allure, the new raid. It'll be normal and heroic. It comes out tomorrow, if I remember right. So that's exciting. And then we also have the new PvP brawl, Cooking Impossible, with Nomi, from the 22nd through the 29th.
Yes! Okay, I found the thing that's going to hook me back in for this week.
I'm excited to do it. Like, hopefully, you know, more people kind of understand how it goes, and I'm excited. It'll be good.
See, I have only one small problem with this.
What's
the PvP part of that?
It's fine.
Well, because you can either go collect the resources, or you can go kill the horde and keep them from collecting.
All right, so here's what we'll do. Medros, you just collect. I'll go kill. Toasty, go kill.
And I will heal everyone.
So you're going to be meat shield. Ta-da! I'll be a collector. Gotcha.
No. The meat shield implies that I'm just taking all the damage. My ideal way of tanking is to do so much damage, and like overwhelmingly so, that they don't have the opportunity to deal damage. That's how I mitigate damage. That's also my philosophy on interrupting when questing. If I kill them, then they don't cast the spell.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's technically an interrupt.
Death is an interrupt. That is very true.
I don't do that when raiding. Please, somebody take me. If I decide to go again.
All right. Well, that pleading aside, let's talk about the new patch coming this week. Or new content.
It's on new patch.
So, part two of the Tides of Vengeance 8.1 content is coming, and it's got some pretty fun stuff, I hope. Hope we're all going to find it fun. First off, new raid, the Battle of Dazar Allure, with the treasure golem and other stuff will be coming up. I don't remember what the raid schedule is for that, but it should be good. PvP Season 2 begins. Mythic Keystone Dungeon Season 2 begins. And there's new Azurite armor updates with the 5th tier of Azurite talents, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So there'll be 5 rings, which many people are looking forward to. Should be interesting to see what those look like. I wonder how long it took me to get one. Probably a while, I think. I did clarify a little bit on what you're going to see for eye levels, because, of course, it's all about eye level, right?
That's why we play. Get the numbers big. Indeed.
So the new maximum item level will be 425. The Battle for Darkshore Warfront will see its level... The required item level to queue will increase to 335, and its rewards will increase to 400 for both the Outdoor World Boss and for Warfront quests. The World Quest Emissary rewards will now scale up to 385 as the maximum, based, of course, on your eye level, and the original launch World Bosses will remain at 355 as their maximum. So they're pretty useless at this point, other than basically scrapping them. Dungeon rewards will now be raised for difficulty as well. A normal will be 340, heroic 355, and mythic will be 370 as a baseline. Mythic keystone dungeons and PvP, that will be the rewards will be capped at mythic 6 quality, item level 385. PvP season 2 end of match rewards will be capped at 385 as well. And the seals of Warfront Fate will remain. They're not being reset. And the cap still be 5, so...
It should be noted for the Battle of Darkshore Warfront that the increases to the item level rewards won't take place until after the current Warfront cycle has ended. So I think we're in the middle of one right now, so So, I can't remember who has it, but whoever has it now, when you get to that point where you're getting all those rewards, it's still going to be the old item levels, and then it's going to reset, and the next faction is going to get the increased item levels. Kind of sucky.
Apparently it is Alliance contributing, so you'll get it next.
Yeah, so Alliance contributing, so anybody who's playing Alliance, you're still going to get the old item levels rewards, whatever that is for 85, I think. Or 385, sorry.
Yeah.
And once the Horde start their thing, they're going to get the 400 item level, which, you know, kind of sucks, but at the same time, there's going to be other ways to acquire gear if you need it to be that high.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure how to take some of the new stuff that is coming, which is the cost change that has been reduced from 72 hours to 24 hours. Now, I've never changed one. Have either of you had the need to change this?
I've had no need. I'm sure Ellie has.
I have, not super often. But if I get an Azorite piece that has better traits, you know, I'll change the one I'm currently using to Shadow or whatever it may be. So right now it goes up double every time. So your first time is, I want to say 5, then 10, and then 20, and then 40. Like, so it goes up a lot like that.
Right.
But after 72 hours, it is like a clean slate and starts back over at 5.
Okay.
So now, instead of being 72 hours, yeah, so now it's just going to be at 24 hours. So I don't know how many people are changing their traits that often. I'm guessing at the higher levels, you know, more mythic rating and higher levels of mythic keys, I could see it happening more often potentially.
Yeah.
So I'm sure for the ones who are higher challenges like that, that will be good news for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think this will alleviate some people's concerns with that whole system.
Yep. And then with the fact that they're adding, you know, the fifth ring and some new talents and stuff, like, it's just... That'll be nice. I think that was a nice move by them.
One thing they noted here, and I actually thought this is already in place. Maybe it is. I'm not sure. But they said that reaching friendly, honored, or revered reputation with Champions of Azeroth faction now unlocks the appropriate quest to upgrade your Heart of Azeroth for all characters on your account. Now, I noticed when my druid hit max level, it had all four of the quests to upgrade its Heart of Azeroth already. It just did them in order and got quite the bump in eye level there. Is this something you guys have seen as well? Or, I mean, I don't know how many alts you guys are leveling, so...
I do not have an alt that is currently getting the Heart of Azeroth.
Yeah, I don't either. I have one I'm starting to work on, but I haven't had much of a chance because I've been playing the Pally.
Alright.
But, I mean, this article also talks about the fact that it's introducing Titanium Residuum, which we've had since 8.1 dropped.
True.
Yeah.
But it's talking about it again, so maybe it's just re-emphasizing that you can
do that. Yeah, and I think that some of the the rate at which we're accruing titanium residuum, gear dust. We're going to call it gear dust now, okay? The rate at which we acquire Azrael gear dust is like getting a little bit of a bump up, I think.
Yes, which is lovely.
Also new with the release tomorrow, we're getting, looks like, 7 new Azerite armor traits. There are 3 specific to gear from the Battle of the Zarlore, Bonded Soul, Seductive Power, and Treacherous Covenant. I'm not going to go into great detail about those, but they're there. There's also 4 new traits from Darkshore Azerite gear. One's called Agent's Bulwark. There's also Apothecary's Concoctions, Endless Hunger, and Shadow of Illusion. So if you're interested in those, you can find it in the release notes, or an MMO champion has a whole thing there that you can look those over. Yeah. So a lot of raid-related stuff, which is, you know, what we expected. Yep. We're getting a whole bunch of the Azerite, what they're calling the second season of Azerite here. I don't know why they went to seasons all of a sudden. Like that feels like a new thing that they're doing with BFA. I don't remember them doing it in Legion.
They've done that with PvP.
When
it comes to raid here, yeah, whatever, that's new.
PvE content has usually been like not given the season label. But I guess maybe
bring it all more in line.
Yeah, and I guess like what tier are we on right now? Exactly. Nobody knows what tier we're on right now, but we know it's the second level of content for Legion, for BFA. That I imagine that's easier.
Well, especially since they took out the tier gear, and oftentimes like that tier was the definition of what tier we're on.
So. Right. Yeah.
So I'm looking here at. And I will admit, I did not know that that stuff in PvP was so predictable. But it looks like they actually have a weekly schedule of what is going to be given as a reward for PvPing and what item level it's going to be.
I did not realize that was a thing either. And like that's probably just a result of us not paying attention to PvP because none of us PvP.
I'm kind of blown away at this point because I'm like... Oh, so I want an upgrade to my ring. I should make sure that I PvP in week 9. If I want my trinket, I should PvP in week 8. And it's kind of like, why can't we have... Like, I would happily take, you know, if you have done X amount of content for... You've done all your emissaries in the week, and you did some island expeditions and war fronts, and did all the stuff you can do. You get this reward every week, and it is this week is going to be this piece because you know what I would do. You know, I would do that content in week 9 to get an upgrade for 3D5 to my ring, because all three of my characters that are, you know, 360, 370 for their eye level, all of them need rings. Every one of them needs rings. Like, I would absolutely do this. And I think it's surprising to me and really frustrating that this is how predictable things are in PvP. In regards to
To us, it sucks because we know they know when they're going to get their rewards and all that other stuff. But judging by the many angry Reddit and YouTube and all that other comments, like, some PvPers don't like the system either because they're stuck waiting for gear.
I understand that.
And like, they would much rather have it available as a vendor where they exchange for tokens so that they win from the PvP matches, like it used to happen.
I understand that. And that definitely has its benefits. However, I know I've waited more than 9 weeks for an upgrade to my rings. To know I just gotta wait 9 weeks... Every 9 weeks, I'll have an upgrade to my ring. Versus the randomness of every day that I do an invasion on my characters, they're getting stuff that is basically going directly to the scrapper. I would happily take this system over what we currently have non-PvP.
Yeah, like you said, there's benefits to both systems. I don't think any implementation is going to make everybody happy, obviously, because, you know, people have varying opinions. Everybody happy? Never. Never.
I believe there was a wise man that once made a comment about such things. But anyways.
I'm trying to think of what wise man you're talking about, and, like, I can't think if you're going to give me a sarcastic answer or, like, a funny answer. Or a serious answer, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the answer to that question. Who said that, and what was the exact quote? Oh. Now you're making me think, man. It's Monday night. Nah, I got nothing. Anyway, what were we talking about?
But yeah, I just looking over the PvP thing, it just kind of really throws me. The title reward for this will be this season of PvP will be Sinister Gladiator, and the mounts look pretty neat, at least for the Alliance side. It is the Vicious Black War Saber for the Alliance and Vicious Black Bone Steed for the Horde. So
another that cat looks really cool.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, it's got nothing on the hippo.
The hippo does look really cool.
Wow. Man, the horse actually, like, the horse looks really good too. I mean, like, compared to the original models anyway, like, you don't appreciate how much stuff has improved until you look at some of the old models compared to the new ones. Because some of the old, one I don't even know, Dreadsteeds? No, they're not Dreadsteeds, that's a warlock mount. Zombie horse. Some of the old zombie horse models do not look good. And that's textured nicely. The model looks really good. It's just, I appreciate it for what it is. Anyway, I just rambled again, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the esports then.
All right. So, now I know we don't normally talk about a lot about WoW esports because, you know, people don't often talk about it, but there's some interesting things coming in WoW esports, specifically in relation to. Oh, I don't have this open. Oh, Toasty, what's wrong with you? Oh, I did have it open. I'm just dumb. All right. Anyway. So, as usual, the arenas are returning for 2019. I don't think any of us expected that to go anywhere. It looks like first cup signups have already started. The first cup begins on February 8th, and looks like the signups will close on January 20th. So if that's something you're interested in, get a team going, then go ahead and register. That's for North America and Europe, Asia, the Pacific, China, and Latin America. There's no dates for that, just confirmed to be later this year. And then we have the Arena World Championship Finals. You know, we'll have the NAEU, China, and APAC and Latin American finals at some point later this year. Now, in addition to the Arena World Championship finals, something new has been added very recently, and that's the Mythic Dungeon Invitational, or International, sorry. So there are 6 different stages. There's the Proving Grounds. There's the Season East and West. There's also a land stage, another Proving Ground stage, another Season East and West stage, and another land stage. What's interesting with the MDI is, you know, there's, you know, it's an eSport, there's a prize pool. The new thing with the MDI and how that prize pool is going to be funded is through sales of toys within the WoW eShop. Now, I know what you're thinking. Another digital item. That's great. Yay. But, like, this is something that's not uncommon when it comes to funding prize pools for esports. And doesn't Dota do something similar where they sell packs or something like that that fund their esports stuff? Like, they're the big invitational, the international every year. So, like, I don't know. I don't mind that they're using a toy to fund the prize pool. I mean, obviously the Mythic Dungeon Invitational made a big enough splash that they're bringing it back, especially considering other things that have happened in Blizzard esports very recently. So, yeah, I mean, it's at first glance, it's like, oh, Blizzard's selling another thing on the store. Yay. How about all these other, you know, things that we would have liked to have had, and so we get another toy kind of deal. But, and this way, you know, that prize money isn't coming out of, you know, our subs, for example. And I realize that's a very simple way of putting it, but, you know, now our sub money can continue going to whatever it goes to now, and that prize pool is just going to get further bolstered by however much they sell of these digital toys. So the one toy, I believe both toys are just little ships, little Horde and Alliance ships. I don't know what else they do beyond that. Looks like they're wind-up ships.
I didn't realize he even stated what they were. No.
I don't think it was on the post. Okay. At least not the post on MMO Champion, but I did see the model floating around in discussions of these store items. So, yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think of this thing they're trying with specifically the toys, the sale toys to fund the prize pool?
Allie, what do you think?
I have mixed emotions about it. On one hand, if it's a toy I truly, legitimately want, I might get it. On the other hand, it feels kind of bad right now. Because yeah. What they've done is, on one hand, completely nixed Heroes esports and slowed down their development, but they turn around and they're going to support WoW esports by selling toys. Like, I'm kind of having a hard time in my brain with that one. So, yeah,
and that's a legitimate argument. And, like, I think, had they not mixed hot seat sports, I don't think this would be as controversial as the community is making it out to be.
It's hard because I am one of those people. Like I haven't bought all the mounts and pets from the WoW shop that I want because I just can't always justify throwing my money at it, even though I want it. But if I see the one that I really, really want, I'll get it. You know, yeah. I bought that bundle, the See You Later bundle that just came out. So like I said, if it's something I really, really liked, I might get it. But right now, in this moment, it doesn't feel very good, personally.
Oh, yeah, because you look at that and you think, why couldn't they have done something like this to save Hot Seat Sports?
Yeah.
I mean, there's an argument to be made, though, that POTS wasn't making enough money to support esports. Now, they could have tried to do more. They could have done something like this to try and save it and bring it, you know, say, we can only do this if you fund it. Here's what we can do to, here's what you can do to help us fund this. I mean, instead, they just decided to kill it. So, yeah, they definitely could have done
it. Like, I'm not saying that something like this would have saved POTS esports. But I imagine people are looking at this, especially it being WoW Esports, which isn't widely watched to begin with, compared to what HOTS got for viewers, what StarCraft gets for viewers, what Overwatch gets for viewers. The fact that the HOTS thing just happened, and also it's WoW Esports, is leaving a sour taste in some people's mouths right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, you only have to look at Dota to see other instances of other esports ventures using a digital item to fund a prize pool. So that by itself, I don't have an issue with. It's just
the timing is just a little tricky right now. Yeah,
the overall situation makes it feel less good, I guess. Yeah, when you said, Ellie.
Yeah, the sour taste definitely is notable.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's the climate that we're living in right now when it comes to Blizzard. While, you know, I don't think any of us harbor those feelings. Yeah, I certainly don't. But I'm also like willing to accept that. I am the minority in that situation.
Well, I mean, there's something that needs to be said that there's only one organization or group responsible for the current perspective people have on Blizzard-related esports, and only one company can address that, and they have yet to do so. They made their announcement, and then one of the developers made a post the next day. But nothing else has been said about apologizing on how they handled it or anything like that. And I think that has only added fuel to the fire. More articles come out about the issues at Blizzard and the financial concerns at Blizzard and their approach to things. And there's just no addressing of those concerns as an ongoing thing. And Blizzard needs to find a way to make that better.
Yeah.
Because the longer it goes on, the longer there is no comment and no addressing of those concerns, the more this isn't something that's just going to go away. Like, I understand that feeling of, oh, if we just don't say anything, if we just let it die off, it'll go away. I would say at this point, you're looking almost a month, or I think over a month now since that announcement was made. And it's still not dying. There are still people who are very strongly giving the opinion that Blizzard is dying because of the merger with Activision. And no amount of people sitting there saying, oh, it's no big deal, don't worry about it. This is just high, you know, over eager hype and or like basically just trying to downplay it. None of that is helping. Because, as I've always said, if it doesn't come from Blizzard, it's not something that can be considered official, but same with trying to kill the people who are worried the company is dying.
Yeah. it's gonna take, we're gonna need a lot of good to happen over the next little bit to, for people to get over that feeling. But hopefully we see that.
One of the comments I saw over the last few days is not, I would say, a wholly off-base one. So, Blizzard had their holiday party over the weekend. A few days before, people started posting pictures from Blizzard of what their gift was. And it was basically a modified version of the Levitating Snowball, the $175 one from their gear store. But instead it was a six-sided thing with their games logos on there that levitated in turn. So even assuming that these don't cost nearly $175 to make, but considering that Blizzard has thousands of employees, they gave thousands of people a gift that is worth a not insignificant amount of money, plus booked Disneyland. But they can't afford esports for Heroes of the Storm. Now, I don't believe that their holiday stuff cost nearly the prize pool of Heroes of the Storm esports. But I'm confident there's people in the Heroes of the Storm, in the HOTS esports scene, who would happily have taken a lowering of the prize pool to keep it alive for a bit longer. So, a company that is, we can't afford to keep this going, and then giving what I would consider a fairly lavish gift to their employees, it does not help the situation.
No. Plus, you gotta factor in all those people who took the voluntary severance in Cork. Like, the public image is not great. No.
And the fact it feels like they are just putting their head in the sands and trying to ignore it is not great at this point.
Did you guys see that Penny Arcade comic today?
No.
So, as you know, Bungie split from Blizzard Activision recently. So it's a three-panel comic. One of the first frame is somebody being rescued from a burning building. The second one is that person fighting to go run back into the building, while the firefighter is like, "No, you can't go back in there. It's too dangerous." And the third panel is somebody who's, I think he's wearing a Bungie shirt, saying, "No, I have to. Blizzard is still in there." I linked the comic in general chat. So that is very much the feeling that people are having right now. You know, whether or not that's... I'm not going to try to debate whether or not that's actually what's happening or anything like that. I'm just saying that that's how a lot of people are feeling right now, given everything that's happened over the past few months.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
When Bungie split, I saw a fair number of people who were saying very much stuff like this.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot of good for that perception to change.
And I mean, I don't know if anybody who was negatively impacted by that change is listening to the show, but my thoughts go to those who I follow on Twitter who were impacted by that decision, because I know at least one person who was very heavily impacted, as in they had just relocated to Irvine to take a position that would have been involved in this Bungie connection with Activision for Battle.net and all that other stuff. And they basically, I assume, don't have a job or have to find out what they're going to do next, because it's not easy. So there's definitely people who are negatively impacted by that decision, but there is a lot of people at Bungie who seem to be quite happy about the decision. So unfortunately, Blizzard's still in there. So anyways, let's move on to our next topic, shall we? So,
I'm sure this will go well.
So, Q&A. There's a new Q&A coming out in a few days. It'll be happening on Thursday. It's the Season 2 Q&A featuring, of course, Ian Hazzikostas. And, of course, talking about all the stuff coming out tomorrow, PvP stuff, the new raid, new mythic stuff, all this other stuff. So if you want to get your question in, you post it in the forum thread or via Twitter using the hashtag WarcraftQA. Or sorry, WarcraftQA. And that'll be at Thursday at 11 a.m. PST. So for those who are in Central Time, that is 1 p.m. CST. So here's hoping, I guess.
I mean, the content of the Q&A is going to be great. As you know, they're going to talk about a lot of stuff there, as they usually do. I'm less looking forward to the reactions to the Q&A.
I am going to be very interested to see what's in the forum post and on Twitter. Twitter more so,
oh, because
they
can't delete
what's on Twitter that they don't like, but they can delete stuff on the forums. And I mean, I'm extremely confident at this point that they will not be having questions asked that they don't like.
I mean, yeah, they're going to moderate. They always moderate. Yeah,
but there is moderation, but there is understanding that you've made a mistake and actually addressing that in a Q&A setting. Some companies can. Blizzard has not been known lately for that, but we shall see what they answer, and the reactions will be less than friendly, I imagine.
I'm hoping they come out with some stuff about 815, because now that it's on the PTR and it's being data mined and everything, I'm hoping they talk about that a little bit, which would be really fun, because there's some great stuff coming up in 8.15.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be very interesting to see how that Q&A goes, and I'm sure we'll talk about that next week in great detail. Because, you know,
that's our thing.
So we get to talk about all that happens.
I'm just briefly going through the Warcraft QA hashtag on Twitter. It is not as bad as I thought it would be.
That's good.
So far.
I mean, it was only announced like a very short time ago, so, you know.
But the internet works quickly. You know this to be true.
True. No, Frasley, no flying in Argus. Ever. Sorry.
Someone's going to ask.
Yeah.
When can I fly in Argus?
All right. Let's talk about something else.
Like some books, maybe?
I like books.
Books are great.
I also am a fan of books.
The art of Blizzard, because their art team on all their games is amazing. So, coming up this fall, there are 4 new books. The first one is The Art of Hearthstone, Year of the Kraken. So this is actually their second volume of Art of Hearthstone, and it dives deep into the Year of the Kraken. So that'll be really cool. There's going to be 144 pages giving hundreds of illustrations from different Hearthstone adventures, and it's going to include the Hearthstone team's artistic process for card art, game boards, and other visual designs. So Hearthstone fans will be looking forward to that one. And even if you're not a Hearthstone fan, just that art is really, really impressive.
Well, yeah, I may not play Hearthstone as much as I used to, but the card art is always great. It's a different take on the, like, what I'm used to seeing when it comes to WoW-related art.
Yep. And I'm a sucker for old god stuff. So Whispers of the Old God adventure expansion, whatever you want to call it, is just so good. So the next book is The Art of Diablo. This one goes kind of deep into the concept, design, and environmental art that the Diablo team has been working on over the last 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
20 years, jeez.
Yeah. So it's a lot of art to share and a lot of theories and ideas and stuff, so that's going to be awesome. Next, we have The Cinematic Art of World of Warcraft. So this one is going to go behind the scenes of the cinematic team in World of Warcraft, and it includes never-before-seen concept art and accounts of the creative technical process. And then last but certainly not least, the World of Warcraft pop-up book. So this one is going to basically bring various locations of craft to life. It even includes Kul Tiras and Zandalar. And apparently each page unfolds into an eye-popping treat, as it's described, depicting iconic sites with brand new art and interactive pieces. So
Can I just bring attention to the fact that the pop-up book engineer Matthew Reinhardt is working on this book.
Yeah, Reinhardt, get it.
Sounds like something that Haley needs.
Right, Medros? Definitely a level of book that should be shipped out to Transcona.
Yeah. I can't wait to get my hands on the cinematic art of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I think that's going to be amazing.
And that's going to be a definite buy.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, I kind of want the pop-up book too. I want all of it, honestly. I've always been so impressed with their art team for all of their games, so these books just really, really intrigue me.
Yeah, like I've been pretty big on art books recently, so like honestly, I can see myself having all of these. Unfortunately, there's enough room on the bookshelf that I have. Like the on the book section of my bookshelf.
That's where you should put your plushies.
See, you're meant to have these.
No. It's a book section, Medros.
There's room.
It's a book section. There are books there.
So I'm going to interrupt you too. Zeph in chat, apparently this Reinhardt guy also worked on the Harry Potter pop-up book.
A joke. What? He is actually a real person.
Yeah.
Legit, yo.
I didn't know you were... Oh, now I really want it.
There's a Star Wars one, there's a Frozen one, a Pixar one, a Night Before Christmas one.
I want a Star Wars pop-up book.
Adventure is what it's called. So Yoda on the cover. Apparently,
that's awesome.
Yoda was born at 896 BBY, which is before the Battle of Yavin, and died in 4 ABY after the Battle of Yavin, making him 900 years old when he died. Worthless fact to you guys. Just letting you know. It is.
It's an awesome fact. It's Star Wars. I can't deny Star Wars.
Well, we knew when Yoda died.
Fair enough. All right. okay, so enough books that will come up sometime in the next year or two.
Yeah, let's talk about some other books that already exist. All right. So our second sponsor, as usual, are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're digging into another recently narrated Warcraft book. This is The Last Guardian. Let's have a listen.
The trespasser nodded. Such hauntings were common, even in the days when Karazhan was inhabited. Though now, stripped of the control and the madness of their master, they had become more brazen. Yet these shards of the past belonged here, while he did not. He was the interloper, not they. The trespasser crossed the room to its staircase leading down, while behind him the older man flickered back into the view and repeated his action, sighting his astrolabe on a planet that had long since moved to other parts of the sky. The trespasser moved down through the tower, crossing levels to reach other stairs and other hallways. No door was shut to him, even those locked and bolted or sealed by rust and age. A few words, a touch, a gesture, and the fetters flew loose, the rust dissolved into ruddy piles, the hinges restored. In one or two places, ancient wards still glowed, potent despite their age.
So once again, that was Warcraft, The Last Guardian, written by Jeff Grubb, narrated by Ramon Ocampo. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
I absolutely love that they are getting audiobooks for the older ones that were only released on paperback. They're releasing them as a Legend series, so they are new versions of the books, but they are re-releasing them with audiobooks and a new cover art and everything. The narrator of this book is the one who also does the Traveler series, and I think he's really awesome.
Yeah, I think this is going to make me re-enable my Audible membership now. I had to stop that when I moved out, but I'm going to re-enable it because, like, I've always wanted to go back and read all these more old Warcraft books, but like reading takes a long time, especially with that many books. It's also expensive. So
yeah,
this is a nice way to do it.
And
on the drive at work.
No, whatever. The next one coming out from this series is the Arthas one, and it's also going to be narrated by the author Chrissy Golden. So.
Oh my god.
Right? I'm so excited. I have this book. I own this book. I love this book. I might have to get it on audiobook too, just because it's her.
I think we did one last week. I don't know if we did the one before that. Yeah.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks have been.
But this is the Arthas book. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That was my first Warcraft novel. I got it. I picked up Arthas shortly after I started playing. It's like, okay, I know Arthas is the main villain for this expansion that I just started playing, so I'm gonna get this book because it seems relevant. And it got me hooked. I got hooked bad. I don't know where that copy is now, but like, it was one of the books I reread enough that it's being held together with lots of tape. I enjoyed it that much. There's only seven other books that have gotten to that point for me. And if you know me, you know which seven those are.
I can't imagine what those could be. Nothing comes to mind what those could be. No, nothing.
So it's Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3. So it's the three books of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, and The Hobbit, so four. Narnia? And...
Alright.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's definitely those books and not Harry Potter.
All right. Yeah. And I just tweeted out to Chrissy Golden to try and get her on for an interview.
That'd be cool.
She's so. I met her once and she's just. It was like a 2 minute conversation and she's just lovely.
I really hope we can interview her again. And if I see her at BlizzCon and. She remembers me when she sees me, but she doesn't remember my name on Twitter, so... Or that I've interviewed her through the podcast. Yeah, she's a great person to talk to. I've got several pictures of me with her, and she's short, though. Like, short. Yeah.
This is true.
But hopefully we can get Chrissy on. I'd love to talk to her about her experience recording these books that she wrote so long ago in audiobook, and what it's like to do audiobook work, so... great stuff. All right, let's go to the question of the week, shall we?
All right, so the question of the week for last week is, what are you most looking forward to from 815, and why is it Bruce? But seriously, what from 815 are you excited about?
Excited about Kul'Tiran. My druid has been sitting at their race change token since one of the sales after they were announced. Wait, there's sales on race change tokens? The Kul'Tiran just look cool. The heritage armor, the druid forms. I mean, I can be a pirate druid. Yar. Zeph says, other than Bruce and raiding, the return of the Shadow Priest weapon. I mean, Bruce is better than Toasty any day. Or better than Toasty any day. But I still like you.
I also can't wait for the Shadow Priest weapon. Good call, Zeph. So, Joda said, I'm most excited for the new raid. My Windwalker won't get instavites like with Gahoon, but hopefully it will still be useful. Berserker in the Unshackled Fury podcast said, because reasons, but with it he actually inserted a dude in a gold suit riding a tethered flying alligator, so we're kind of just assuming it's supposed to be Bruce, which is logical.
Also, so,
Berserker
I really,
agrees with the Bruce.
I really dig the name of that podcast. I assume lots of warrior stuff is involved, and now I'm going to have to listen.
I really enjoy those guys, and I listen to it every time it's out. It's good times.
All right, so next week's question is, what are your thoughts on the Shop Toys funding the MDI prize pool? I think I've summed up my feelings on that pretty adequately. Do you feel the need to sum up your answers again?
I actually spoke about this at all. So let me talk about this a bit here.
Okay.
My thoughts are that I'm fine with it. I did say that, wish they'd looked at alternative methods to fund HOTS esports, but I'm fine with this. I mean, we've bought things in the past in WoW for a specific purpose. Those were charities, but if I was a fan of WoW esports, I would absolutely see this as a big glaring neon sign saying, this is how we save this. If you want it saved, please participate.
That makes sense.
I don't think I'd use the word save, honestly. Just because I think that's just them using a model to increase a prize pool of... to increase a prize pool and a model that has shown to work for previous esports ventures and continues to work for previous esports ventures for other companies. I
mean, what they need to do, whether it's a save it or make it equal to what has been in the past, like, I assume WoW esports is not a huge thing.
You'd be right.
I don't know a lot of people, like, other than PvP tournaments, I don't see a lot of dungeon or raid based stuff. Like, there's not a lot in WoW that lends itself well to an esport venue. That said, people will buy this to make sure that MDI does continue to have some funding. Whether that will be a long term thing, who knows? I don't know what price they're going to put on this because they've never sold a toy before through the shop. The price of it will really depend for a lot of people, I think, for like who aren't into esports, whether or not it's really a cost effective price. So that'll have to be a wait and see game for me. And money and all.
Frazzy also brings up another great point that I can't believe I didn't bring up earlier. But, like, this isn't the first time that Blizzard has done this kind of stuff for esports. It's the WCS War Chests, the Overwatch League emotes on Twitch, and the jerseys that I own three of for Overwatch League. I mean, that's a physical item, though.
Overwatch League is a completely different level. I mean, this MDI is not a league. It is not, you know, oh, this is the Method team. This is the, you know, I can't even think of other names of guilds anymore because I'm so in touch with what rating scene and what high-end content scene is. But this isn't a league. I mean, I expect a league to have that kind of stuff, like jerseys. I mean, I'll admit the BlizzCon store, I kind of wish I could have filtered out the Overwatch League stuff because there was a lot of it. Like, there was...
Yep.
How many teams are there? Like, 12 now? Or whatever? Like, there was a keychain for every team, and a scarf for every team, and a men's shirt for every team, and a women's shirt for every team. Like, I felt like the Overwatch League stuff needs its own store, or section of the store, that I can filter out that stuff. Because I don't want to see a button for every team, and a scarf for every team. Like, that clutters the store for me.
There are 20 teams now. So next BlizzCon,
with 20 teams, you're going to have 500 items in the store just for Overwatch League. And I will be rolling my eyes and be begging Blizzard to make Overwatch League its own store, or allow me to filter out certain things like Overwatch League stuff. Not Overwatch stuff. I want to see the Ash Funko Pop and the McCree figure, or Figma, that they released around that time, and the Nendroids, and all that. I want to see that stuff. I don't want to see the Overwatch League stuff, because that's not something I'm into.
I feel as though that's a reasonable request. Because, I can definitely see the frustration. I know, like, when I was looking at Overwatch Pacific stuff, I'm like, oh, but, like, here's four pages of Overwatch League stuff. I mean, I bought some of the stuff on that four pages.
You're into that.
But, like, I didn't set out to do that.
That was, I think, my biggest frustration for the BlizzCon gear store is that I could say, oh, only show me the Warcraft stuff, only show me the Overwatch stuff, but then the Overwatch stuff has everything, including the Overwatch League stuff. And I wanted the Overwatch League stuff to just be its own section.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that, so... I hope they got a lot of feedback on that one. Didn't ask me for my opinion, though, so whatever.
Well, just tweet Blizzard CS. No, not Blizzard CS.
No.
Isn't there a Blizzard Gear Twitter account? Blizzard
Entertainment now. But.
Okay.
Maybe tweet I will. Blizzard maybe Entertainment. Because that is something they need to look into to ensure that their customers aren't annoyed. All right.
Sorry. Side note, I'm probably going to end up buying some Hangzhou Spark merch because it's blue and pink, and I just find it hilarious and awesome. It includes a Like, there's a Reaper skin for the Hangzhou Spark, and it's as hilarious as you're imagining it right now.
Pretty hilarious.
It's a blue and pink. It's a blue and pink Reaper.
All right. Well,
I love it so much.
It is time to show that some things don't change with a new title. So, Allie, what's your shout out for the week?
My shout out is to Christy Golden, because not only does she write terrific books for WoW, not only has she really added some life to the story team for Warcraft, but she also has a fantastic personality, and I adore her.
That was an easy one, but you took it, so good call.
Hey, man, you keep calling me first, I'm going to keep picking
all right, Toasty.
I'm going to give a shout-out to some of the new people I've seen popping up on our Discord. It's great to see new faces in there. And I'm, you know, looking forward to interacting with you guys more. Like, there's been a lot recently that have been showing up in there, so that's cool.
Any specific names or just general?
I don't want to forget anybody. That's why I was avoiding.
I can't disagree with you on that one.
So, yeah.
I'm not going to name them,
so... Because
well,
like, it looks like some of them have been coming in, but some of them have also just like started talking after apparently being there for a while. Because I didn't see the name in the welcome channel. So yeah, welcome every new person and every person who decides to participate recently. Awesome. It's great seeing more right. people in there.
I'm going to give a shout out to our patrons: Ian, Lee, Navimi, Brock, Toasty, Fandeth, Redzian, Frasley, Thomas, David, Erlina, Troy, Wookie, and Bimini. Thank you for your support. I was actually looking over some of these, and there's one person who has been a monthly $1 pledge, and they have pledged a lot of time. Like, they've been since basically... they're actually, I believe, one of our oldest patrons. They signed up almost the earliest. I think there's... one person ahead of them. Yeah, one person is ahead of them in the list, and that's Toasty. But they're number two patron of the show, so you were the first.
Was that the first one?
Start was the 3rd of February 2015, and this person was the 10th.
Oh my god, that was a yes. long time ago.
You've given a lot of money to the show. Thank you for that.
Hey, no problem, man. It's all good.
But, yeah, I want to thank all of our patrons. I hope many of you still listen to the show and are hearing this and can go to the patrons section of our Discord. If you don't know our Discord, well, just look up on Twitter because we just tweeted out, like, 2 hours ago. But, yeah, want your votes on who's going to be the first of our AMAs. The current one has a tie between Toasty and Allie, with Nutmedros being a dead last. So, go vote.
Pick Toasty.
Control shift.
And we'll be aiming for that one to be early next month. We'll see if we can set up a date, and we will we'll see who gets asked the questions.
Does incognito work?
Oh, no, IP it doesn't. Invocation.
Luckily, I have several. Luckily, I have several VPNs.
Anyway, I think that's about it. So let's do our outro, shall we?
All right. So, if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com, and if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, Ali is at Aliandriske, I'm at Toasty Postycan, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. You can also join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/vnetata, and please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Stranded Soulstone, More Than Megapixels,
and, we'll be and back Across the Universe. Meantime, take care. Happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the battle for Desert Allure.
Go Rams!
Don't forget to thank your healers.
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.